Hi, good evening, everyone. This is a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is Wednesday, October 16th at 5:39 Pacific Time, 8:39 Eastern Time. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA and the chair of this committee, and we are going to start by calling the roll. Our secretary will take care of that, R. Paul Martin from New York.
Okay.
Wood?
Jim Boyd.
Here.
John Crumshaw. Marcus Jeter. R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Manager Saba. Raul Salvador.
Here.
Richard Uzel.
Here.
Barbara Whipperman. All right, we have seven, and that's it, and we should hear who else is on.
Okay, is there anyone who joined the call?
This is Brian DeShazer in the Pacifica Radio Archives.
Okay, and there was one other noise. Who was that?
Maurice is on.
Who just joined the call?
Marcus.
Hi, Marcus. Welcome.
Hey, Brian. Richard Uzel.
Hi.
Okay. So, R. Paul, if you could record that Brian DeShazer is with us as a guest, and if you could record that Marcus Jeter arrived in time for roll call.
Yeah. Is Summer Reese here?
She was.
She was before. I guess she's not here.
Summer?
No, I'm here.
She just
can't seem to get out of mute no matter what I did there for a second.
Okay. All right, so if you could note that Summer Reese and Brian DeShazer are both here as non-voting guests. Okay, good. So since this is a special meeting, our agenda is constrained to what we noticed and announced, which is review of a national office budget and an archives divisional budget, if these things are possible. We have received a draft of a national office budget, which was sent at 5:24 this afternoon. I received it from the CFO. I've since forwarded it to the rest of the committee. Are all of you in receipt of that email?
I didn't get it.
Yeah, it's
Tony.
What was that, R. Paul? Did you get it?
Yeah, I had to go up on the web version of the list and get it. So I'm saving
and
that.
And, Tony, you haven't gotten it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just resend it. Yeah, I haven't. I don't see it.
Okay, it just hit. It just hit his email.
Mm-hmm.
So
I just saw that I got it myself. So I would assume, Tony, it should be in your email box momentarily. You know, it takes a second to go through the Yahoo Groups filter. Okay, so since we haven't had a chance to review this, I think we're probably going to need to do this in a fairly deliberate manner so the committee members can become familiar with the contents of what we're considering. So why don't we follow our usual budget protocol, but we'll do it kind of slowly so that people have a chance to look at things and ask questions and so on. So I'm going to ask either the ED or the CFO, and I will leave that up to the two of you to decide, or we can do you in sequence, to just sort of take us through the high points of this budget. And I would ask that you take some time to go over as many of the line items as possible, because, of course, we haven't seen it. And just sort of tell us what you think we should pay attention to, or any numbers into which, you know, some thought went, or any numbers that are different than what they've been in the past for various factors that we should consider. I think that would be helpful. So I'm assuming that we'll hear from both of you, and then we'll go to question and answer, and then we will try to move into sort of our temperature taking process. Does that sound okay?
Yes.
That's fine.
Okay. So, which one of you would like to go first in introducing the budget? Summer, would you like to go first? Raul?
Sure.
Raul,
okay. Do you have a question?
Summer, go ahead. Maybe you could introduce the budget at the same time. Do the top line revenue items. There's some noise going on here.
Okay. I'll go over the highlights.
Okay, that would be great. And anyone who's not Summer should go on mute right now so we can get rid of the bird chirp.
Hi. Are we better? Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. So I think that means everybody's on mute. That must be great. Okay. Fantastic. Okay, thank you. All right, so in terms of, okay, Raul, I apologize also for the late time of our budget. We've been working with Brian with PRA with their budget. Raul putting in the listener support from the divisional budgets. And so some of the adjustments that we've made in here that I think are of significance or should be, I think we've gone doing things like board expenses to reflect the reality that, in fact, we don't have, let's see, was that changed appropriately? Okay, it should be double that. I'm sorry, I'm having to look at both the upper and down. Anyway, to account for the fact that we only have 2 meetings a year, even though it says we should have 4, we don't need to book money for 4 meetings a year that we're not having. With PFW and WBAI, I wanted to have Raul's booking everything on an accrual basis, but then we have adjustments at the bottom to account for something closer to what I think is reality or is at least a decent estimate. So we've calculated WPFW at 50% payment of central services, which would be a significant improvement over where things have been in the past, but we've already experienced a significant improvement just in this last fund drive. So I think that realistic going into the upcoming fiscal year that we could anticipate collection of perhaps half of the central service. With BAI, we calculated collection of 20% of central services, so with 80% uncollected. The reason for that calculation is obviously BAI's future is somewhat uncertain as to what direction we will take in the next few months. But even if a business arrangement were made, we would want to calculate something in for reimbursed expenses because those are legitimate. The central services do encompass legitimate reimbursable expenses to the station, but we would have to account for a lower level of listener support if we were in any type of business arrangement. And if we were not and we are actually able to make the station sufficiently sustainable on its own, we have significantly reduced costs. So we would hope to collect at least a small portion of central services. But I didn't want us to actually count anything more than that as being anything we should even think about. Totally with Democracy Now, we have the expired contract of last year. We've been booking the accrual at the prior contract amount. There is a hope for a contract amount, which I would prefer not to discuss on an open stream, but it is the budget. What I had been proposing last year and will be proposing again as a reasonable level of compensation for the type of distribution and non-exclusivity that we currently enjoy but still is something reasonable within the realm of program acquisition. So those adjustments were made. And in terms of salaries and development, I've made these arguments before in the National Board. Think that they are supportable based on just true business reality, which is that you have to have positions like human resources funded in a multi-million-dollar organization. You simply can't run a 10-plus million-dollar-year organization and not have a full-time person in human resources. So I've put that into the budget. Similarly, the board in the not-too-distant past had passed a modified position of national program director / fundraising coordinator. There's a little wiggle there in terms of classification, but in charge of programming, there are a lot of things that I'm doing behind the scenes in terms of coordinating our programming across the network, why we have functional programming at stations that are not necessarily able to put those things on the air right now. We are going to have to make significant adjustments in perhaps our provision of news services, depending on what Free Speech Radio News decides to do next. So, and our listenership is incredibly in all signal areas, to the point that signals like Los Angeles are in the third year of a five-year CPB phase-out of funding for low listenership. Texas, all of our stations have incredibly, so having a national program director to oversee the types of improvements in our primary product is something with net tangible results, and in fact, we may need to seriously address what we're doing with restricted funds on a national program provision level, depending on where FSRN goes next. So I've budgeted that into the budget. Likewise with development, I didn't book that as a position. I booked it under consulting because we're utilizing a small portion of consulting services right now with one firm that works with KPFA. I'm in discussions with other people. It's the type of thing where you need, you know, specific work on specific tasks, whether it's grant writing or database improvement and management, doing an email campaign or a mail drop campaign. Firming our request department, so we actually have what I would consider to be a functional department and system for processing and giving appropriate paperwork, feedback, et cetera, for a request program. It's not been aggressively pursued in the network, to my knowledge, any time in recent memory. So all those things have tangible benefit to the organization. So I've similarly booked a very modest estimate in some of those line items, you know, grant income and major donor income at, you know, $25,000 for the year, based on the idea that at least a development director or people that you're paying are at least going to pay for what they're doing and improve your ability to make more money the following year. Obviously, I'm hopeful that we can do significantly better than that, but I didn't want to be unduly optimistic. So those are the major, leaves us with a very small surplus. I think it's at least within the realm of reality when it comes to the assumptions on central services payments and tying of improved income with the expenditure on certain salary or consultant items to address those issues. Otherwise, everything else is, you know, it's pretty much put in by, you know, Raoul based on our actuals from prior years and what we, you know, appear to actually be spending in these various categories. Audit has been brought down a little based on the, you know, the continued hope that with cleaned up, improved accounting management, those things will be reduced in cost and difficulty to deal with. So I would say those are probably the major highlights in terms of anything that would be different compared to your budgets or should be of perhaps particular interest. So, and I'm sure Raoul can answer any of the specific questions on various line items. And I'm done, Tracy.
Okay, so at this point, without an interruption, we're going to go to Raoul and hear his presentation, and then we will go to questions and answers.
Okay. Well, primarily, Summer already discussed the top revenue portion of the budget, and those numbers represent the assumption that we're going to get the right people, additional person in the development, as well as the human resources to perform the necessary task at the national office in order to generate supplemental revenue as presented in the budget. So on the revenue side, we are, as you can see, there's a budget and we have a projected 2013 results in there. There's about a $90,000 increase in revenue based on the increase in the grant income that will be generated, the major donor income that will be generated from the development director, as well as the additional fund drives that we are implementing at the national level of about $100,000. That is the difference in the revenue side. On the again, the shared expenses were adjusted to reflect only 20% expected cash receipts or contribution from WBAI and 50% from WPFW. And that created about a $106,000 increase in shared revenue. We initially put the actual accrual basis of recognizing the shared services from each of the radio stations at full value. And at the end of the this main tab of the budget, at the bottom of that, we highlighted the adjustments that we're undertaking to arrive at our cash flow surplus. On the top surface, the budget based on the usual budget presentation, we're showing a deficit of a net deficit of $193,000. You see that line 31, $193,000 deficit. That is mainly attributable to the two positions in salaries and related expenses that we are adding, as discussed by Summer. One is the HR director, and the other one is the program national program director. That we anticipate that based on this budget, we assume that we will put in place as of December 1st, 2013. Continuing to each of the major departments, the board expenses, we are anticipating two in-person meetings, although for fiscal year 2014, including the one that's going to happen in November. That is going to be included in this budget presentation. So with the additional two people, two FTEs being added, we're looking at that increase to $971,000 in salaries and related expenses versus $724,000 in 2013. The 2013 number of $724,000 may be skewed a little bit because most of our personnel or staff at during the fiscal year 2012 were being paid at 2013 were being paid at the agency level. As you can see later, there's the expenses paid to the Robert Half, to accountants and accounting principals, were being charged to a different line item, which is consultants. So that $724,000, if we had the full staff being paid in the payroll, it would have been about the same amount that we are showing for 2014. So so that kind of comparison might be misleading for this particular purpose. The $724,000 is actually understated because most of the salaries in 2013 were reported in the consultant line and the administrative. And we could go directly to that line, and that line is line number 55, consultants, account number 6300. As you can see, we have projected to we have paid $309,000 in consultants. That includes the accountants, the temporary employees that we have through the agencies, as well as about $80,000 that we paid to the financial consultant, the controller in the interim, Peter and Marilyn, that we paid early this year. And now we're only anticipating about $37,500 in consultants for 2014. So we're trying to eliminate those account temps and Robert Half International payments. As you can see, we're only budgeting $37,500, and most of that is payments to our benefits consultant that are doing their manual, that are doing our insurance renewals, health insurance review, as well as our part-timers of about $16,000. So going down the major differences in the administrative expenses, the legal fees, we are anticipating about, that is line number 50, account number 6530. We paid a lot of legal fees in fiscal year 2013. So we are anticipating less legal fees in 2014, about $90,000 versus $233,000 that we paid in 2013. That $90,000 would probably be enough to cover our FCC attorney as well as our general counsel that we are hiring. Again, Summer discussed the audit fees. We anticipate a reduction of the audit fees because we are very optimistic that with the right people and complete staffing, we will be able to plan ahead with our audit engagement. And so we do not anticipate spending a lot of money in lost time for the auditors. That's basically the highlight of the administrative department. Going down the election, the national board expenses, again, we are anticipating $60,000 in board meeting and travel, corresponding to two in-person board meetings, including the one in November, versus one last year in 2012, fiscal year 2012. We are all assuming that we're going to continue to use our conference calls at the same, almost the same level as before. And programming, basically, we have continued to budget the amount that we are that we've been paying Democracy Now. However, an adjustment regarding the Democracy Now is reflected at the bottom of this page, which I will discuss that later. And so the satellite fees are is a major programming expense by the national office. That's basically Clear Channel satellite services as well as the NPR to deliver the programming. And development expenses, as we have anticipating some major fund drives and fundraising efforts at the national level, we are budgeting for some direct mail and printing of $20,000 for 2014 and an additional $10,000 to mail out those the fundraising materials. We are also on line 115, account number 6780. We have provided for a development director or a consultant that would allow us to generate more revenue in our fundraising efforts. So our accounting budget, based on this, is showing a $193,248 deficit, and that deficit, that's a gap net. I call it a gap net surplus deficit of $193,000, and then we to present the actual cash, the realistic cash that we are anticipating. We have adjusted. We're only giving credit for WBAI, only 20%. We're limiting 80% of WBAI's at least in their support, shared central services fee, as well as 50% of WPFW, and that would be the adjustment, that $213,000 adjustment of the income, and 50% of $107,000 for WPFW. The adjustment of $205,000 put us, a net adjustment of $205,000 put us on a surplus of about $11,000 for 2014. So that's basically the entire budget. And I'm open to questions, both Summer and I.
Okay, at this point in time, we'll give people a little bit of, you know, a minute or two to digest that. I'm sure there's going to be lots of questions. I certainly have some. And I think, and I'm just going to remind the committee that that we have a three-step process, looking at a budget, and we're up to step two, and step two is basically what we call clarifying questions, which is, I don't understand this, I'd like a little more information about this, can you talk a bit more about this particular number and how it came about? And when it comes to opinions and support for the budget, that is part three, and we're not up to that part yet. Okay, so basically let's just make this about things that need to be clarified or on which you need more information.
John from Truth.
Hi, John. Welcome.
Thank you.
So I'll take it back.
Tony.
Tony, okay. Anyone else want to get on early? Okay, so we'll start with Paul, and then we'll go to Tony. If you want an answer specifically from Summer or Raul or both, say so. And we'll do question and then an answer, and then we'll go on to the next person in the stack.
Line 50, legal fees. Given RFPs and everything that are going out, the idea that it's that legal is going to come down from FY13, I don't know that's totally realistic. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you've accounted for how you think 90 will come in, but I think there's a good chance there would be more than 90. So,
hey, could you please be more, but a good.
You were talking, referring to the RSP.
Oh, I was going to address the legal fees. So, for our small part of the conclusion may be that 2013 encompassed settlement and debt paying off of fees that were the result of prior lawsuits. So, a good chunk of what you're seeing for 2013, I mean, I sent $75,000 to Jackson Lewis in one payment. So, I'd have to sit down with Raul to break back to every one of those things that relates to prior litigation. But obviously, we're booking legal fees here as opposed to litigation fees. This is regular consultant fees with our FCC counsel, general counsel, those types of legal fees. And the prior year, I mean, there's been obviously a tremendous amount of legal settlements that has occurred within the network for the last 3 years. So one would hope to reduce that going forward. It could conceivably be a little higher, but the prior year does encompass those settlement fees.
All right. So on the legal, there has recently been a glorious victory for Pacifica on a totally meritless lawsuit, and I'm hearing that nevertheless it was expensive. Was that expense in FY13, or is that going to be in FY14?
Oh, that is a WBAI expense for one thing, not a Pacifica expense, and which is already owed and causing us considerable legal and financial consternation that it has a deductible that's owed to the insurance company. And it's attributable to WBAI, as we all know, hasn't had the sufficient cash flow to cover. I'm consulting with counsel on collection. I mean, typically when one wins a legal case, one goes after the other side for collection of legal fees. And how realistic that collection is, I don't know, but I'm going to assess that because that is the appropriate next step when you have six-figure legal.
I certainly hope that is pursued.
Thank you. It will.
All Okay, I think we're going next to Tony Norman.
Hey, Tracy, just so you know, this is Brian DeShazer. I popped off and then popped back on a cell phone. That was the beat that you heard.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Tony, you are next.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me? You all can,
yes,
can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, first, well, I my first question was related to legal. I expressed the same concerns as Paul. I think that's a little low. But even though I know each station has to split up that cost, but, you know, if the station doesn't meet that cost, I guess it winds up being a national cost. I don't know. But I do think that that might be a little on the low side. And also, but the other question was on the election expenses. I assume that the line that says 37,000, that's just the national percentage. The other is coming from the stations.
Yeah,
that's
what is your, what did you estimate that complete total to be to for the cost of election when you add all of that up?
You mean that's a Raul question, the aggregate for all five units. Yeah, that portion, Tony, accounts for the hiring of the national election supervisor from the national office. But, Raul, maybe you could answer the aggregate cost.
Yeah, that is the election cost that includes the about $18,000 of the ESC and $18,000 of the actual supervisor, national supervisor.
And what would the total be?
37,000, I believe.
I think
all of the units.
No, Raul, I think he's asking the cost for all the units. I believe it was close to $250,000 last year.
Tom. Yeah, last year was $250,000, $225,000.
So how much are you projecting it to be this year?
I need to compile. I haven't compiled the total election cost, but it looks to me that we have reduced tremendously most of the station's budget compared to this year. So it will be less than $200,000.
Okay, that's it for me for now.
Okay, I think I heard Michael Novick next on the stack, and I'm going to put myself on the stack at the end. Does anyone else want to be on? Speak now. Okay. You're on, Michael. Michael? Okay, I guess he dropped. Does anyone else want to jump in? Hello? Oh, I guess it's me that dropped.
No, you're
here.
We're here, Tracy.
Hear you.
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, okay. All right, so Michael, are you here? Okay, so he dropped. So does anyone else want to jump in on the stack, or should I go?
You should go.
Okay.
You're on, Tracy.
All right, so let me ask a question. I have a couple of thoughts, but they're more in the area of temperature taking, but this is sort of a factual question. We're still getting national programming grants, NPPAG, of a certain amount off the top of my head, maybe 200 of them. Well, no, I'm exaggerating there. Maybe 150,000 a year, give or take, which is meant to be used for national programming. Now, all of the stations have budgeted that as their FSRN payments, which they now are not paying to anyone in particular. It seems to me that that's a sum of money that we need to account for in some way because it is restricted to some sort of national programming. I think it could pay the salary of a national programming director. We could reserve it for an alternative news service. But it seems to me we have to account for it some way and not just leave it off of our budget.
Sure.
So that's one question.
Do you want me to answer now or wait for the next question? Or
No, go ahead and answer that
Okay.
One.
Sure. Okay. So I did think of it as terms of it could cover part of it could cover the salary of a national program director. I've been having discussions, obviously, feverishly since right before FSRN was slated to go off the air. We made short-term arrangements with Feature Story News. I've been having a lot of conversations with people involved with our news at various divisions and other parts of public affairs. I would say that there is, goes beyond concern. There's a definite need to make sure that we continue to have the provision of national and international news service in some form. And there are discussions going on right now because we're kind of going to see post-CPB disbursement what happens to FSRN. And I'm having a meeting tomorrow with Future Story News to see where we're going in the next, just, you know, the immediate future. But I would say this definitely, I'm happy if we could book it in some fashion for national programming provisions, just so it's accounted for. I do think this is a conversation having collaboratively with our agency, our stations, to see what do we want to do with these resources if, in fact, it's not a rebirth of FSRN, because we still need them appropriately. And at the end of the day, reinventing it with a Pacifica branded, you know, daily news magazine that serves all the stations. So this is not yet on discussions. Any written proposals are actually flowing back and forth on what we'll do next. And definitely for me, the ability to delegate in a...
You're breaking up again a lot.
It is necessary to have someone in charge of, you know, each department. When you get to very specific functions, one has to have the ability to delegate to someone who can see things through to their successful conclusions. And we have a lot of different aspects of full international programming in terms of coordination and things that we're doing right now to cope with our financial situation, our programming situation. And so, Tracy, I'm completely amenable to whatever suggestion in terms of accounting for it, and I'm also very aware that this is a collaborative conversation that I'm having with the stations, because if it's not going to FSRN, then what do we collectively choose to most effectively do with this money on a national program level? But even aside from the provision of news service and the restricted funds, the opportunity to improve what we're doing programmatically and in terms of audience share by having someone apply expertise and coordination is very definite and necessary.
Okay, so here's my second question.
Yes.
I have some, you know, temperature-taking type comments, but I'm going to hold those and just ask a factual question, which is, how are the fund drives doing at WPFW and WBAI to date in terms of their goals? Are they meeting their goals? Are they way behind? How far behind?
So much better. WPSW has had a dramatic turnaround. I believe it made its goal. It didn't make its goal, but rather than failing by dramatic strides, it came very close. Its goal, I believe, was 450, and it came in at 414. So that is it was good enough that for the first time, rather than PSW not being able to, like, cover health benefits, it actually fronted the money to cover benefits for New York and, you know, where we didn't have any money going on.
Got it. They're 90% of their goal. Okay.
It's so much better. Yeah, it's, like, fantastic. That's why I projected 50% payment of central services, because I now feel hopeful that we're going to address many issues and see improved fund drive results, and so that's realistic in this upcoming year without being unduly optimistic, still giving room for the fact that there's a lot of adjustment.
So, you know, there's stuff to talk about, that discrepancy between reality and accrued and all of that, but I just wanted to get an idea of what on the ground was happening. And what about New York?
Yeah, so I feel PSW, I'm feeling realistic and optimistic on. In New York, obviously, I continue to make dramatic changes to deal with things. Let me put this in the most politics fashion. Okay, starting with day two of Fund Drive, I had to address certain things to make sure that we had certain types of programming on the air that will actually generate revenue. And that has been doing okay in the 15 to 18 grand a day range, but that is insufficient to make what we need to do here to satisfy our severance obligations and the power, just our immediate debt obligations.
And so yesterday I did make additional programming changes, and Gary Null is on prime time in the morning. They still have an excellent mix overall of a variety of programming, but we have key programming and primetime slots, and the numbers are already dramatically improving since yesterday. We already topped 25 grand by this afternoon, and it was still going up. So it was like over 21 grand yesterday. So we're on the upswing, and the stations, on the management calls, I have everyone's working together fairly effectively at sharing things like what premiums are working and sending them around. And I've got stations, they're supporting each other to say, this is working, try this. And so we're going to do a lot more of that with New York in the next 2 weeks in terms of mix. And I'm doing that with Texas also, because Texas has some 17 very weak numbers right now. And so we're introducing things that are working from other stations and bringing the numbers up, and we're going to do some more of that at New York. So I think we're going to do okay with this fund drive. And what okay means in this context really is paying off these immediate obligations. It doesn't address necessarily the going forward budgetary issues, but getting us out from under immediate threat.
Okay. So can I be just a bookkeeper and ask, and maybe our Paul is in a better situation to do this, just the mechanical, how much have we made so far, what's the goal, and approximately how much longer are we going to fund drive?
The goal is $500,000, Tracy, and it's a month-long fund drive, so it is a low goal for a long period of time, and that's why I had to get the numbers up over like 25 grand a day. If we could hit 30, we'd be so much better.
And what are we at now? About.
You know what? I don't have numbers today. I've been dealing with it on a day-by-day basis. It's been running 15 to 18 per day. It's been going, let's see, so we're in week, this is entering on week three on Monday. So we've got 2 weeks basically going, and we're aiming at going over 25 grand a day for the next 2 weeks.
Okay, so it's been about 18 a day times
18, 30.
So it's been about 130 a week, 140 a week,
you see,
280 or so. Okay.
And $500,000, right? That's how we got there. I mean, we did the math on it to say, okay, if we can crack this, we can make it. I've just had to up the numbers a bit.
Okay, thank you. That helps me for my temperature taking part. Okay, Michael, are you back?
Yes, I am. Sorry. The phone fell and it dropped. Can you hear me? I'm getting an echo at night.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I cheated it. I jumped in front of you because you were gone, but you're next.
Oh, that's fine. So I had a few questions. Raul was talking about an increase in major donor and grants, but showing a very small increase in major donor, actually a decrease in grants. Is that because of the CCB funding or something else?
Raul? I'm not aware that we really had grant income last year besides CPP, so I don't know. Raul has to answer that one. Michael, those are just projections for me in terms of putting – there was nothing in those line items, and I thought, no, I'm sorry, we can achieve something in every one of these line items, particularly with some development support. We can do much better than that, quite frankly, but I don't want to be – you know, I just don't want to overreach on it. I want to say I want to see successful incremental strides in every area of development so that we see that we are making, like, particular program aspects working there. So I'm not sure. Hey, Raul, I'll answer that question. A lot of it was based on, you know, actuals that Raul pumped in there, but
Yeah, those are the actuals in 2013. I'm trying to get which ones. Yes, but line 10. 5800. It showed like about 57,000 actuals and 25,000 for the coming year. So,
I'm increasing that number. I'm just not aware of which grants. So Raul has to pull that out, because if I'm not thinking of it, it may be falling into a category that I'm not thinking of when we're talking grants too. So it's a number that can be adjusted. I just didn't want to see the expectation that we're not going to go out and look for some money. I hope we would find more than that. But
I was asking if that was like a reduction in CPB grants.
No, it has nothing to do with CPB.
Okay.
I was trying to development work on the expense side. Yeah.
Okay. And then I had a question about the, I guess it's under administrative expense. Let me see if I can find it again. Board expenses. The LSB election, it was showing about $37,000 for the actuals of fiscal year 2013. I was wondering how that came about. Was that entirely from the fallout from the postponement of the 2012 election? And then it's showing...
The
it's the 2012 elections that is part of the 2013 fiscal year.
So then it's showing, as far as for the fiscal year 2014, it's showing 37,000 kind of broken up into some expenses, October, November, December, January, and then June, July. And I was wondering, were there anticipated election expenses from October to January, or was that...
We're truing up the election cost. It's been paid, but we haven't reconciled the national part. It was added on to the payroll. I think one of our payroll, the national supervisor was paid out of the payroll. So we were making adjustment off the payroll. It's being reclassified into that line item. That's why you have
it. There's about 17,000, I'm saying at the beginning of the fiscal year, and then there's another 17,000 or so at the end of the fiscal year. I was asking,
it's a
why it's broken up that way, or
it's a reclassification because we paid it out of the payroll and the election supervisor. So what happened was we were reclassifying the cost out of the payroll line and putting it into this line. That's why we made an additional $17,000 adjustment.
So you're saying that $17,000 that has already been spent in a sense on that position?
Yes.
So there's really just $20,000 being budgeted for the election.
No. The $37,000 is for this coming 2014. We haven't paid that yet. I was talking about $36,500.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but I'm saying the money is broken up in an odd way. That's what I'm asking about. It's like payments in October, November, December, and January, and then payments in June through September. So I was just trying to understand why it was broken up that way and what it represents.
Michael, he may have templated it on a previous year when it would have typically been incurring expenses then. I don't know. Is that the same trouble? Because, you know, they've been that way. Like, we were on our normal election timeline. We'd be incurring expenses October, November, December, you know?
All right. So, but this year, if we're not having the election until later, because the PMV, it would just come in, it would actually be spent later in the year.
Correct.
Okay.
Whether it's January or February, all the amounts will go into that.
Okay. And then you said the development is being handled still as a within the development expenses and not as payroll also.
Yeah, that's correct. The development director is being budgeted at $60,000 as a consultant. Whether we hire them, then it's going to go into the payroll side. But in the meantime, we're allocating $60,000 for that.
And there was a reason, if I might answer on that, besides simply not having enough money in our budget to go around for salaries and benefits, but also because truly a well-qualified development director would earn more than the CFO or I make, frankly. Do you know what I mean? That's somebody that you're going to hire full-time on staff. That expectation, but we can get a lot out of development dollars by utilizing even key resources on specific projects, and so that's why I put it in the consultant line, because I felt we would be able probably to get more for the money by, you know, right now I'm doing something with this one firm on a specific one, you know, project. That's it.
Right.
And so anyway, it made sense in terms of what I think we can accomplish with the money we made. We don't have more to apply to it. And, you know, same thing with grant writing, you know. So, anyway. That's the rationale behind why it's in that line item that's over in personnel.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, does anyone else want to be on the staff for questions?
Marcus.
Rich.
Okay, I heard Marcus, and I heard someone else.
Richard.
Richard. Okay, so let's go to Marcus, followed by Richard.
Hi. Just a quickie on the development professional. At university, development professionals are often compensated, have a performance-based compensation package. And while this is a different model, I'm wondering if you've given any thought to some kind of performance-based compensation, which may change the number some, but certainly gives a high-end development person, you know, incentive to do a good job.
Well, I'm frankly open to any number of ways of approaching this. I know there are certain prohibitions in terms of like percentage type of things. I do believe in general, you know, much of corporate America certainly rewards people for doing well, but I think I will look into what all of our options are. Right now, obviously, I'm addressing certain specific things, database, mailing, aspects of development. I'm frankly probably
right.
going to consult with a gentleman that I met at NFCB who gave a fantastic course on setting up a bequest department in the proper fashion. He'll talk to us for free, and then I can get an idea of, you know, how can I best utilize some resources here. But I will definitely, if you have more information on that, Marcus, totally send it to me. I'm trying to build a department from scratch that doesn't exist to address things that will make a real difference to the organization. I really believe that, and in multiple areas. So it's not quite so burdensome. We are so dependent on only one model of raising money at this point that we will be in much better shape for our survival if we can do that. So any thoughts you have, please share them with me, definitely, okay, because I'm completely open to the different approaches you get. And different people specialize in things. I mean, a grant writer is not the same as someone who is necessarily writing your mail piece and handling your database is not necessarily the same as the person maybe dealing with major donors. You know, one person may be able to head up a department that successfully breaks these things into parts, but since we have very limited staff resources to, you know, figure out how to get absolutely the most and the most proficient and effective and knowledgeable help that we can. So I'm sure to be open to anything that you have in the way of information on that, okay?
Great. I think you're on the right track.
Thank you.
Okay, next person on the clock is Richard.
Good evening, everybody. Did I understand Raul to say that that you're going to be short of balance? What? How much?
Short of what?
Balance in this thing?
I think it's the question between accrual and... Sorry.
Well...
I think it's the accrual versus cash flow issue. Raul, I think he's asking about the net deficit before making the adjustment.
Right.
That obviously is somewhat speculative at this point, but in the contractual obligations, we end up with a slight surplus as actual. I just want to break that down a little. I think, Richard, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I didn't hear the last part of that, son.
Yeah.
Raul, can you try to explain again?
Sure. What we have included, the biggest item on the adjustment is basically Democracy Now. And we have included in the budget the full amount of $650,000. But Summer and I believe that we have to negotiate, go back to the table and negotiate this because we felt that $125,000 a year would be a fair and more reasonable amount that we ought to be paying Democracy Now. Hence, we're doing a $525,000 add back to the deficit that we're showing in this budget. So the bottom line, the bottom portion of this budget, the bottom portion of this budget shows that adjustment of $525,000, and with the anticipated, you know, non-payment of WBAI and PFW of Central Services, we netted that those three adjustments to come up with a $205,000 adjustment back, add back to the deficit, hence resulting in about $11,000 net surplus cash basis.
Okay. This is Tracy. Can I?
The deficit. Let me ask a little bit more. What?
Richard, this is Tracy. Can I jump in for a minute? I think I can.
Sure.
Let me ask
one question real quick.
Yeah.
What is the deficit projected right now? 190 something?
193.
Okay.
That's Booking Democracy Now, $6,000 a year.
Richard, okay, so let me just quickly sketch over this because there's three things that are going on.
that I think we need to pay some attention to. The first is that we're adding two positions to the national office, which obviously we don't have the money to do. And that is principally what is causing our $193,000 national office deficit. What it is we're adding two positions. So that's adjustment number one that's being made in this budget. Adjustment number two is there's an acknowledgement or a recognition that full central services are probably not coming in from both of the East Coast stations. So there's approximately $300,000 in central services income that they're saying we might not get and tossing up their hand. So you have $200,000 being added and $300,000 being taken out. And then to deal with that, they're making an adjustment on the Democracy Now! Payment. I think there might be another way to do this, and I want to talk about it a bit when we get to temperature taking. But basically, if you eliminate the two positions and you put back in full central services from all the stations, you don't have a gap. The reason that you have a gap is that you're doing those first two things. Does that make sense, Richard?
Well, a little more.
If I may, I
John, to the stack, please.
That we have the inability to do things as basic as human resources because we have a $650,000 contract that, do you mean that's all in the eye of the beholder? We're talking about something mm-hmm. which is preventing us from being able to staff
yeah.
things that are absolutely necessary to make the organization fun.
I'm not in any way saying, yeah, I'm not making a qualitative statement, Summer.
Well,
I'm just trying to explain.
In terms of which thing is causing the hole in the budget. We have a hole in the budget anyway, and we know we're not going to collect full central services because that's been going on for years. So I guess I'm saying is that I feel like they're all tied together. So
Yeah. No.
I recognize that I may or may not be able to fund this necessary positions. We've been dealing with that the whole year. HR landed on the consultant's line last year. I'd rather put in the real position at the office permanently, you know.
No. I think it's an accurate description of reality in lots of ways, and that's good. I didn't mean to suggest that it wasn't. What I was trying to make sure is that all the people on the committee understand what's being reflected in the numbers and what the adjustments are indicating. That's all I was trying to do. I'm not saying good, bad, and different. We're not up to that. I don't have an opinion on that yet.
Okay. John, to the stack, please.
I heard you. Richard, are you finished, or do you want to do more?
I'm still roasting, but I'll be quiet for a while.
Okay. Then let's go to John Crumshaw.
Yes, thank you. I am just wondering whether any of the items we are discussing in open session are items that are currently being negotiated and perhaps should be discussed in closed.
Well, I don't always prefer to move to closed session when anything regarding contracts comes up. Obviously, a lot of this stuff plays out on our financial reports, which are quite public. And but in terms of where we're going, here we are already in open session. So I suppose that there's, like, real minutiae that people want to get into because they want to say, do this, don't do that. Maybe Tracy wants to move it to closed session. I don't know. That's true.
Okay. I mean, as a procedural matter, things about we should be in open or we should be in closed should be addressed to the chair. But I err on the side of doing budgeting in open session if at all possible. So let's just try to steer clear of closed session material if we can.